Okay, cool. Awesome. Welcome, folks. Small group this morning. It's back to school day here in the UK. So I'm sending all the resilience and lassos to anyone who is corralling young children back into the classroom today. And yeah, for added fun, we've also got this additional crisis going on with schools are actually unsafe because of this dodgy concrete they used in the 50s or 60s. So weird stuff going on for parents. I can't even imagine what that must be like at the moment. So all to say we're thinking of you. Today we are in module 7. We are looking at the coach's self-doubt and how this shows up for us. Last week, I'll just get my slides visible to you. Last week we talked about how this shows up in your business and when you're doing the business of coaching. And this week we're really going to focus in on your client practice. I honestly think that this might be the most important module of the whole program, just in terms of taking care of you and your self-doubt. And so we're going to dive into that today. And yeah, no worries, Hannah, if you need to disappear to deal with your plumber, that is totally fine. So we're going to look at this today in what I'm hoping is a really helpful normalizing way of how our self-doubt shows up when we're actually in session with clients or thinking about our clients. And we're going to do a really cool self-reflection exercise on this that can just highlight what sort of things can come up, the tricky stuff that can come up. So I'm hoping this is going to be really enlightening and just regulating, right? The idea that you might find your clients sometimes a bit boring or irritating is totally normal. So we're going to talk about that. It's like the kind of sacred cow of coaching. We're supposed to love and adore our clients and want to be their BFFs. And actually, the truth is that may be very, very far from your experience. So we're going to look at that. So just to revisit the aims of this module, we're exploring where self-doubt shows up in your coaching business and in your client practice. How do you, as a coach, experience self-doubt? And the reason for that is the more you can understand and untangle from your own stuff, more aware of it you are, you're less likely to be blindsided by it. You're less likely to feel out of control when it comes up. You can minimize entanglement with your clients before they start working for you. So your prospective clients when you're doing the business of your work, and also your existing clients when you're actually in session with them. It also means that the more you can explore this stuff, the more you start to show up to your coaching work embodying self-belief, like really going, oh, this is a thing I'm actually doing. So rather than this being a theory or an idea, it's actually a sort of way of being in your work. When I talk about embodying self-belief, the way that I like to kind of qualify that for myself is that it's a coherence in belief, emotions, and behavior. Right. So when those three things all line up, there's a coherence, there's a sort of settling of your energy, of what you're saying and doing, how people experience you, how you experience yourself. That means you're most likely to show up in a coaching session, coaching from your healthy adult self. Right? When you're like, I'm doing this work, this is where I want to be. I'm curious about what's happening with my client, and I'm sharing that and expressing that with them. Then your client is most likely to get the best out of you. You're most likely to have a really satisfying and meaningful experience as well, right? And that just it compounds itself over time. Remember last week we talked about, I've got these slides in the wrong order, but remember last week we talked about protective beliefs and business problems? If we change that for client problems, right? I believe when coaches experience self-doubt in client work, it's almost certainly coming from our own protective beliefs. Something's going on for us. And remember, protective beliefs can only be healed by you. They require us to be different, and usually they require us to do some exploration, and sometimes we need some support to do that around why they're there. But we need to believe something new, and that's only going to be possible when we understand what's going on to start with. And then we experiment, right? So, I mean, it's, for me, when I think about client work, it is super, super fascinating the places where we can get entangled. It could be that a client, like, just on the second or third session says something that reminds you of your sister-in-law that you hate. And you're like, who is this person? And immediately something happens in your body where you are defended, or you're kind of responding in the way you would respond to your sister-in-law. So you kind of go out of your healthy adult self, out of your, you know, coaching, self-belief embodied coaching. You're really in a state of survival in that moment. And it can be anything, right? Our clients are such mirrors to all of our stuff. And I'm sure you have found this over your experience. It may even be people you do training courses with, right? Or people, practice clients, right? Clients you're just kind of checking out if this is the right thing for them. I think anything that is activating your self-doubt, activating a response to you that sits outside of that really healthy adult response, is so worthy of your attention. I think these are the relationships that hold so much growth and development, and it's probably going to feel like us, right? It just will, right? Because it's like, ugh, this is my stuff that's coming up, so I've got to look at this. So just to say, it is totally normal to feel uncertain, judgy, irritated, or bored by a client. That's the bit that we almost always think about, right? Is that they are the problems, that they are the clients that are going to activate us. I want us to do a reflection exercise just to stir up some raw material to see what we might be experiencing. And this will only take a few minutes, but I want us to get into a bit more of a conversation about how this shows up and what we can do about it. Okay. So I just want you to think about clients that you have loved working with. And you may want to jot down their first names just so you've got a record of this. Who are the clients that you have loved working with? And it may have been like just a particular session, or it was maybe a fellow coaching student that you coached with, and it was like, oh my God, I still remember a guy called Sean who I coached with in my very first coach training. And I so remember the moment that I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this. And he then reflected back to me, that was freaking insane. Like I really felt you were so in it with me, and the question you asked was so great. And it was like the first time I ever thought, oh, this, I could do this. This could be a thing. So I totally remember that moment. So it may be a long-standing relationship that you have. It may be someone that you've worked with just briefly, or someone that you have coached in some kind of context. and it went really well and you remember it. So I want you to write down, what was it about that interaction that made it feel successful or meaningful to you? Just take a moment and think of those clients and write down what made that successful or meaningful. You've got some notes on in that situation, or those situations, those clients. Next question I want you to think about is, how was that person meeting your needs in that moment? So when I think back to that interaction with my friend Sean, I think, oh my God, I got so much validation from him in that. So what needs were being met, what of your needs were being met in that interaction? Notice if you've got thoughts and feelings about having needs and having your client meet them. You're allowed to have needs, you're a human. You're supposed to have them. Anyone want to share anything that's coming up?
I can. mine was actually a peer coach who has become a very good friend. We don't peer coach anymore, but we stay in contact. The particular session, I came away thinking, yes, that's the one I'm going to submit for my final course recording. And she even messaged me and was like, you've got to use that one, Cassie. I think you'd like, it was great. But then it turned out the audio wasn't so good and I couldn't use it. But anyway, that's beside the point. But what that was because I just felt really present and really connected to her. And I just felt like my listening skills were like on point, and it allowed me to then really be able to pick up what really was under the surface for her, or what was possibly under the surface. And there was, I suppose, as a coach, especially as a new coach, you all want that like aha moment. And she was like, oh, like when I shared an observation with her, I could see it really, really landed. So that was kind of, it just, I still think about it now, and it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
I wonder, like, what does that do for you, Cassie? Like, what was the need that was met in that moment?
I think now that I've said that, at the time I was really procrastinating on getting a recording for my final exam. Right. And then because I couldn't, like, I'd sent it to a translator and she was even like, or transcriber, sorry, not translator. And she was like, I'm struggling to pick it up. I don't think you'll be able to submit it. But it just suddenly like cleared the way that I was like, okay, if I'm not going to use this one, I'm just going to pick one. So I suppose it validated that I kind of had enough for what I needed for that exam.
Yeah.
In skills. And if I'd done it in that session, I probably had done it in other sessions as well, possibly.
Yeah. So it sounds like about some validation. And it almost like you said, the warm and fuzzies, like a sense of excitement perhaps about this work.
Yeah. And I felt really connected, which is like, I always really like to look for that, of connecting with people. And in that moment, I felt very connected.
Yeah.
And I think it probably did deepen our friendship a little bit outside of that environment.
Yeah.
So
amazing. So the slightly less sometimes less nice thing to look at is, how might that not serve your coaching? And what I mean by that is there anything that you would then have not risked in perhaps future sessions or in ongoing conversations as she's become a friend, in order to preserve the relationship?
I think possibly a sense of what comes to my mind is complacency, like, oh, I've got it. I don't need to, like take your eye off the ball a little bit. And then maybe there's a personal thing inside myself, need of validation, that I'm maybe putting too much onto this friendship, or feeling like, oh, now we're super connected, or something like that. That could be a risk, I suppose, which I suppose was the risk then is, disappointment if that's not the same for her or whatever.
I mean, and this is the thing, right, is when you start to just be aware of the wider system that's at play, right, which is all we're doing is just blowing it up and looking at, wow, what might happen because of that, you know, those great moments happened, and we almost go, okay, fine, done, amazing, don't want to poke it, right? But actually, when you look at, well, what might happen if we had another session and there wasn't that connection? She didn't have an aha moment. What would I make that mean about me, about her, about my coaching? Right. And it's an interesting thing to just be aware of, because where I think we can stay in that place of coherence is we sort of take the praise and we take the criticism, and it we can kind of be with it in a way where it doesn't define us. It's all good information, and it's all serving our own growth as practitioners, right? Because I think sometimes what can happen is we think problem clients or difficult clients are the ones that we don't connect with. And actually what can happen is we're just as likely to hold back and to not stay in our healthy adult self when we have a deep connection with a client.
Worried about rocking it.
And there's lots of coaches that are like, oh my god, a sign of success is when all my friends hire me as their business coach. I've heard that so many times, and I'm like, it does not matter how many boundaries, how many conversations, how aware and evolved you both are. If there's an existing relationship, it's going to get in the way. It just will, because it's not neutral. You're not there serving that client in that moment. You have a vested interest, and you're a human being. So it's just going to, that's not to say we can't or shouldn't coach our friends or whatever. I just think you're making life really complicated when you choose to do that, you know. And any supervisor would say, if there's an existing relationship, it will get in the way. So it's a good thing to be aware of.
She's
Does that kind of make sense, Cassie? Say again?
She's definitely a friend now, not a peer coach.
Right, yeah, and that can happen. I know, I'm so with you. And I think that's the thing that can happen is when you meet people that you really click with and then they become friends. Like I've had to fire clients because I'm like, this evolving friendship means more to me than your relationship as a client. I want to refer you on. Are you happy with that? Because otherwise it gets murky for everybody.
Yeah.
Love it. And none of that detracts from this fantastic moment of presence and connection that you felt. That is always possible to you. And because you've reflected on that this morning, you can look at what were the conditions that were present there? What was I thinking and believing? What was I feeling? How was I behaving? What was the coherence that was available to me in that moment? And it's like every session where it goes really well, it's like fantastic to pull that apart and look at what went really well. How do I do that again? Yeah, great example. Love it, Cassie. Thank you. Hannah, I wonder if you want to share a similar, like just a great moment that you've had in coaching for a client that you loved working with.
I think mine was kind of similar, and like I think the best bits are like when you see someone have a new perspective unlocked and it's like, oh, and you just kind of know it's going to have a different impact on their life, hopefully positively. But yeah, so I think coaching sessions, when you have those moments where like something opens up for someone, you can kind of tell.
Yeah,
I've had a few of those with different clients. I was thinking as well when you were saying I remember that was one of the first ones I did with someone, and I was really sticking to like the grow model at the time.
Yep.
About her career, and I obviously didn't know anything about her job, but I was like, oh, the power of just asking questions, because she just like came to all these conclusions and these plans. And I remember that was a bit of a like cool moment for me, because I was like, oh, you just ask, like, I don't have to even know anything about what she's talking about, like I don't understand this even, but just like asking good questions. And that was, because that was like a really pure kind of coaching experience, I guess. Like I didn't know anything about her job or what she should do in that career. I didn't really have an opinion. It was like, really like, okay, let's ask the next question and go through the model. And I was like, oh, this really works. So
Yeah. Love that for you. Yeah. And what I'm hearing is not understanding the context or the content. It's like, oh, but I can trust the intelligence of the client. I can trust the healthy self of the client. They've got all the answers. What a great, like such a great thing to remind ourselves of, right? We don't have to do all the work all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm curious to know, like, and then what happens for you in sessions where nobody has an aha moment?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I haven't done loads of hours of coaching, so I don't know if there's always, I don't know, I feel like there's always a little something, but even if there isn't, I guess you, it does, if I never really reflected on it, but I guess it makes sense that, you know, not every session is going to be, and sometimes things are just like boring and mundane, or you might just come that week and not really progress, but it's still like building maybe towards something, the relationship.
Yeah. And it's just a great thing to be mindful of. Like, if you do experience some self-doubt, like, shit, no one's having an aha moment. What am I doing wrong? Like, well, maybe that's not that has never been necessary for good coaching, right? That's necessary for an Oprah show, but not necessarily for good coaching, right? And I'm always reminded when I share that with other coaches, I'm always reminded of this fantastic study that was done by a university in the States, where they invited undergraduate students with self-doubt to choose a tree on campus that they told their self-doubt and their worries and fears to. So they sat and they either wrote a letter to the tree or they sat and chatted to the tree on their own. And the positive experience of just sharing stuff with a tree was basically equivalent to therapy. So it's kind of like sometimes we're just the tree, you know, sometimes we're just a tree. Tree doesn't tend to provide those aha moments, but we can trust in the, you know, the need for that, like just to be a place where students can, or our clients can share their stories and their worries.
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, not to put these big expectations on it, I guess that would be the risk of being like, I have to provide these huge, like, peak experiences every time. And if not, then I'm failing, or they're not getting their money's worth, or yeah.
An enormous pressure to put on ourselves. And I see this as well, like, just in the marketing of coaching. It's almost like, because the market is so kind of overwhelmed with people, there is this tendency to use hyperbole and, you know, this is going to be life changing, you know. And I even say on my page, you know, look, it's unlikely that your life is suddenly going to take on the luster of a tampon ad where you're like riding a horse in white jeans at sunset. Like, that's, your life's just going to be your life, but maybe you'll have more tools and a more kind of rounded perspective on your life and the ability to get yourself out of the sort of pit of despair much faster, you know. So there is this kind of pressure that we sometimes put on ourselves, and then we can set ourselves up for failure when we're kind of marketing coaching as being something that's so much more than what it actually is. Yeah, love it. So let's look at the other side of this, and I wonder if you want to just take a few moments to consider the clients that you maybe had, you found difficult to work with. You had moments where you were like, oh, I don't know where to go here. Just name those, reflect for a minute and name those clients for yourself. Remind yourself of the context. It might have been a particular session or a whole client relationship that just felt a bit fraught. Maybe you felt like you were sort of talking past each other, or they didn't quite get it. You didn't quite get them. Of these clients that felt difficult to work with, what assumptions did you make about this particular client? What assumptions did you make about them? Who did you decide they were? I think when I reflect on this, I had a client once who just didn't want to make any changes, even though in sessions she would say she was like totally up for change and all this, but just never did. And it was so frustrating. And I kind of made it mean that she was like wrong. Like, somehow I was quite irritated by her. There was something about her that I just thought, for goodness sake, if you don't do anything, what do you think's going to change? But I never said that. I was like, okay, let's try something else. So just notice, like, what are the assumptions that you made about the client? Next question is, what did you make this mean about yourself? What did you make it mean about you that you had this client that you found difficult? Anyone want to share what this is bringing up for you? Probably don't want to, but
I'll go first again.
Okay.
This was my first real client,
right?
But she was a pro bono client.
Okay.
And when you said what did I make it assume, I'd actually written down flaky because she seemed really flaky. Like, I kept having to follow her up for the sessions because she'd miss one or she'd be late. Then even in the sessions, she felt like it felt like she was just all over the place. And I mean, to be fair, that was why she wanted coaching, because she felt like her life was just all over the place. But I was just like, I just felt like I wasn't actually coaching. And what I've written down here was, I was the tree.
Yeah.
Because it just felt like she was basically using me as a free space to just offload.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just questioned, what am I doing? I'm rubbish. I lost all my skills or the knowledge that I had. But then she couldn't, at the end of each session, she was raving about how great it was, obviously, because she'd just been able to offload. And then even when our like little agreement of I think four sessions or five sessions for pro bono, she was like, oh, I'm gonna pay you, I want to carry on. I never heard from her, probably because she's like,
right.
But I just was so confused, because I was just like, I feel like I'm not coaching, but she feels like she's really getting something from this.
Yeah It's interesting, isn't it? Like, when our clients rock up and they're not the ideal client. They're certainly not the avatar that we created in that marketing class one time, right? They're just being themselves, and somehow we have to do a dance with them. And we can make that mean all kinds of things when we feel like we're stumbling over our own feet and they're kind of not even really paying attention and all of that's going to shit. And it's like, what is happening? Yeah.
And I remember really holding on to this, like, I need to have the coaching agreement. I need to know what we're trying to work towards in this time we have. And it would just, and then I'd think I'd have it, and then it would go off on some other tangent, and I was just, I have no idea what's going on in for this 45 minutes that we're together.
Yeah. And, you know, it sounds like your assumption turned out to be pretty discerning. She was a bit flaky.
And I think she did just need, for whatever reason, when she managed to get herself on that call, she then gave herself the space of what she needed to offload whatever was on her mind, which I suppose is a slight element of coaching. It's a whole process of allowing somebody to think out loud. It was definitely,
And I'm curious to know, like, now as you reflect back and you've got more experience and more time between and less emotion attached to this person, like, is there anything you would have done differently?
I think I'd like to think that I would be brave enough to almost like re-agree and be like, okay, like, I just want to check in with you. Like, this is my really ideally what coaching is. You know, you're saying you're getting value from it, but, you know, let's have a conversation about what is that value, what's changing for you. I think I would, to be able to kind of just try and bring it back into more of a coaching realm slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what a, and how great for her to go, hey, I've got you, and I see yeah. all of this, and I want you to get even more out of this. So here's what coaching is. Here's how I can help.
Yeah.
I think that's, if there's one kind of feedback I would give to every coach when they're in a dynamic with a client that just feels, like you said, it's like, I'm so confused. What is happening here? It's name that for the client. I'm really confused about what we're doing. And that can feel horribly vulnerable. But just sharing with the client what your experience of them is can be an enormous learning.
Yeah, I wasn't brave enough to go, well, okay, last week we were talking about you wanting some more time to give yourself breathing space so that you could actually de-stress and have a separation between work and family. Now this week we're talking about the fact that you are going to stay with your company, and you're not going to stay with your company, and now you're going to go and apply for lots of jobs. Now this week, yeah. So hang on a minute, what is it that you actually want to have, and how can I help?
And whenever I meet clients like that who have that kind of like the darting around, to me that's always overworking. So that is a critic protector, right? You've got to keep working at this to solve it. So it's all over the shop, and it can look really scattered, but it's just if they're overworking at something, even if that's a problem they're trying to solve, i.e. you know, work-life balance and trying to get some direction in my career, then naming that for the client can be like, do you think there's a perfect outcome here that if you just work hard enough, you'll get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Isn't it? Yeah. And I think as well, it holds so much learning for us. Like when we are willing to look at the dynamics that feel a bit tricky, and, you know, I think for me, I've managed to get to a place where I no longer see difficult clients. I just see people in difficulty. You know, it's like this, the way that a client behaves in a session is a microcosm of the, you know, the person that's living in their head, like that they're listening to, and also the way that they are operating in their lives. So when you can reflect back to a client, my experience of you is that you're a bit all over the place. There's a good reason for that. But I want you to know I see that. And I wonder how, you know, what you make of that, and if that's something you want to work on. Because I imagine it's really hard to get any sense of traction when you feel a bit all over the place, a bit scattered. Does that sound true for you? Like just reflecting that back to a client in a way that it's not a criticism, it's an observation, can be hugely like eye-opening for them, and a way to deepen the relationship and as you say, which I think is spot on, how can we recontract what we're doing here? Yeah, amazing. So much good stuff comes from those clients that we find difficult. Yeah. Hannah, what about you? Thanks, Cassie.
Yeah, thanks. I was thinking about one client. It was like one of my first clients, and they would just kind of come and like sit there.
Yeah.
As if I was sort of teaching, and I remember finding it quite hard because, like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to feel like, I don't know if it was an hour or however long it was, of really like pulling. I felt like I was like pulling stuff from them, and they were kind of like looking to me as if it was like a real like syllabus that I would bring kind of thing, and lots of, so yeah, I had like structures of things that I could work with and exercises and stuff that I could bring, but I just remember finding it quite hard. Yeah,
that does sound hard. Like, I don't know, Cassie, when you hear that, I'm like going, oh man, that sounds exhausting. Yeah. Do you have some insight around why that was her expectation, Hannah?
Maybe it was the way I like kind of marketed it, perhaps, or I don't know if they'd really had much experience of coaching before.
Yeah.
So yeah, kind of like what you were saying, Cassie, I probably could have been that, oh, okay, this is coaching. Like, if you bring something that you want to work on next week, have a think about it, or like, yeah.
And I'm curious, like, looking back on that, is there something you would have done differently, like, rather than working really hard with a client?
I don't know, because they did really want to be there, and I think they did get stuff from it, but I just really felt like I was, like, really leading everything, like, to a really, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting, isn't it, when you say that to a client, I feel like I'm doing a lot of work here. Right? It's like, what is it that you want to work on? What matters to you?
Yeah.
What might have been at risk if you had said to her, I want you to bring stuff, or I want you to do more work here, or, you know, and phrased it in a way that was appropriate?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like, you want to have, I think it was my first one, so I was like, you want to have this air of like confidence or professionalism, like, okay, I can lead you through this process, or like this thing we're working through, and that's my job, probably. Felt like it was like, yeah. Whereas now I've had a lot more, I guess, more coaching experience, and it's definitely easier when people bring bring more stuff. But then it is also hard sometimes, like when people bring too much stuff and you can't get a word in, and you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if we're actually going to get anywhere. Like you're saying, Cassie, people are just like offloading, and you're like, well, I'm not really getting to coach you. So it can be maybe either extreme, they're probably harder to deal with than when it's like an in the middle, and like you're bringing questions and they're bringing problems or things they want to work on or dreams or whatever.
It is interesting, isn't it, because it's almost like we're dealing with a person's life, a whole human being, and often it's not one thing, it's all these interconnected things. And I guess the beauty of that is it doesn't really matter where you start your work. On the flip side, there's some tension there with, we're never going to get to everything. And, you know, I don't know if our industry helps itself with these six sessions over 3 months is the standard. Like, I highly recommend people think about being much more imaginative around how we package up our sessions. I for a few years I would work with someone just for a year, and it was like a set rate, and then we would figure out between us how often they wanted to meet, how much support they needed in between sessions, and it was pretty much tailored to that person. I had one woman who I worked with for 18 months, and we met weekly for 45 minutes on her lunch break because that's all she could fit in. And most of the time we were doing mindset type work, like cognitive behavioral stuff. But she got so much from that check-in, you know, and she would, because she knew that there was that very tight window. It was, okay, here's what I want to work on today. Boom. And we were in. So we got into that rhythm, but it took a little while to find that rhythm, to figure this out. Because she was always like rescheduling, and I can't fit this in, and, you know, this is the reason I need coaching, right? So it's like, okay, let's work within your constraints. What can you commit to? And it was like, it's got to be less than an hour, has to be over a lunch hour. And I was like, okay, let's do that Tuesdays. That's me and you, always. You know? So it can become, like, I do think most of the challenges that our clients present to us can be worked through. It's just, sometimes we have to let go of the rules to be able to do that, and to be curious about, you know, what else could be true, because we can make ourselves wrong all the time. And, you know, I think that's a great sort of sutra, a mantra to hold, is, who am I making wrong here, and what else, you know, what else can be true? So what we've done, just in exploring those two ends of the scale, right, and there is probably, like, you know, 47 people in the middle who were kind of somewhere in, or 47 coaching moments at somewhere in the middle of those two ends of the spectrum. But that self-reflection is basically you exploring your experience of the client. And it's not something that, I don't believe, as far as I'm aware, none of the kind of main coaching schools teach this. Like for that those fundamental coaching skills, it's almost like, you're great, go ahead, make money, tell all your friends that you trained with us, kind of thing. But actually, I think the willingness to reflect on your experience of the client is one of the greatest ways of growing your own capacity to be with a whole range of different things that clients are going to throw your way, to be with different emotions, different challenges that clients will bring. The more you can get curious about your experience, where your protective beliefs are showing up, where your protectors are kind of saying, oh, it's too risky to do this or say this, then that is going to be where you grow as a practitioner. And what we're doing just by reflecting on those clients is we get to thicken the narrative, right? So in much the same way we do with our clients, right? We teach them. When we go, oh, that client is flaky, or that client is not ready for coaching, that client is whatever. When we kind of, we reduce a person and our experience of a person to just a few words, which we all do, right? That client's so boring. Oh my God, I'm so sick of hearing about her freaking divorce. Like, move on already. Like, this is a normal human response. I mean, why do you think they're coming to a coach? Because all their friends have said, I'm sick of hearing about your damn divorce. So, you know, this is understandable, right? But no one has to be wrong. And when you get to thicken the narrative and say, what else could be true about this human being? How can I enter their world and expand that so I get to know them? This is where we get to grow as a practitioner. And I genuinely think it starts to shift your view of like humanity. You start to see, God, we really are just, you know, wandering about trying to make the best of it. Pretty much all of us. And we're making it up as we go along. And we're all carrying these traumas and hurts and disappointments, and we're trying not to let them happen again. But we've got big dreams, and we've got these unmet needs and longings. And that's the state of us, you know. And none of us have particularly good conflict management skills. And we don't like being with uncomfortable emotions. And, you know, in all of that, there is this thread of courage to seek out support, to go, something isn't working for me and I need some help. And when we as practitioners can meet that request with some compassion and, you know, a sense of humor and a willingness to be with our clients even when they're a bit unlovable, then that makes our work, I think, even more meaningful and necessary right now. So one of the things I really wanted to share with you and why I think this is super important is how we as practitioners start to live from that embodied self-belief is that we expand our capacity to be with more people, more emotions, more experiences, more challenges, more risk, all of that. So one of the best kind of tools that I've come across for this is to start reflecting on every session. And you'll see this tool, the SOAP reflection process, you'll see this in the module workbook. It literally is just four questions that you're asking yourself after each session. You just take 10 minutes, fill this in, and kind of move on. You just leave it. SOAP stands for subjective account, objective account, analysis, and plan. The subjective account is this, you know, what did you notice about your experience of the session? Right? What happened for you? And then objectively, What did you say? What did the client say? What did you observe? What are the facts of the thing, right? And then what do you make of all of that? What went well? Where could it have gone better? And then planning, what might you do differently next time? So very much what we've talked about today, right? When you do this over time, what you start to notice are your own patterns. It all comes down to how willing you are to sort of be honest about this stuff. You start to notice your own patterns. You start to notice your clients' patterns. And this builds a much broader picture of what's going on for you, for them, for the dynamic between you. If you ever seek out supervision, which I believe most coaches should be, you know, unless your work is very much about teaching and perhaps mentoring, but even then I think it's super, super helpful to have a supervisor in your corner. This is the kind of thing that makes it so much easier to bring cases to your supervisor and say, what the hell happened here? I don't know what's going on between me and this person, or I'm confused about how to move forward with this client. Here's what I'm noticing, right? And the supervisor is going to work with you to figure this out. Where is your protective stuff coming up? How is that getting entangled with the client? So if there's one thing I would encourage you to do from this point forward is to use the soap reflection process just for yourself. I just have a notebook. Ooh. It was quite dramatic. I'm just going to show you a notebook. And in it, I've just written, these are all my soap reflections over the last couple of years. And, you know, I just turn the corner over of one where I think, oh, I think that's for supervision. I think I need some help with this one. Makes a huge, huge help. So doing this is going to help you thicken the narrative for yourself and see where your own self-doubt, your own resistance, your own stuff may be getting tangled up with your client. I think it's just so, so helpful to do it. And I give an example in the module workbook of a client I worked with, the one who kept banging on about her divorce. But she was also a coach that was working. She wanted to be like a divorce support coach, which I thought was fantastic. Any excuse to buy a new notebook, always, Cassie, you know me too well. But what we found as we went through this process of really reflecting on this, because I found her really tricky to work with. Like, it wasn't like we clashed, but I just thought, I'm not sure I get you. Like, she was so like pro. She always wore a suit to her sessions. And as you can see, I'm not really a suity person. We were just quite different people. And I found it, you know, for me, that was a challenging coaching dynamic. And it was, I think what I realized was there was a lot going on for her underneath the surface, but she wanted to project, I've moved on and now I've turned this awful experience into a thriving business, except she was feeling so frustrated with her own clients because they weren't moving on. And it was just this mirror, right? She wasn't moving on. They weren't moving on. And even though she kind of would use words like, well, I'm so over it now. I just want to concentrate on all the amazing things that come out of this experience. So there was a real resistance to go into any of the difficult emotions. And when we started to, when I sort of got that, we started to talk about that, things really shifted. Our relationship changed. Her relationship with her clients and her business changed. It became this, you know, because that mirror that says, here's where we're all resisting what's going on, right? When you're willing to really look in it and pull it apart a little bit, the knock-on effect is huge. There's a real ripple effect with that. And it meant that, you know, rather than her saying, oh, okay, I want to change my business completely. I just want to set fire to this because I can't seem to make any progress with these clients. she was actually able to go much deeper with them. And if we hadn't had this, if I hadn't been doing these reflections and really looked at all of this, I don't think that would have been the outcome. I would have kind of gone with it, or even said, go work with another coach to set up your new business, right? But actually what ended up happening was, from memory, this was quite a while ago now, she ended up retraining in some therapeutic modalities to add into her, you know, life after divorce coaching practice. And this became so much more rich, and you know, her capacity expanded to be with the difficult emotions her clients were experiencing, and of course her own as well. So I guess, you know, one of the things to really think about is we can never quite know what the impact of us doing our own work is going to be for our clients, for their work, and, you know, their families, friends, businesses, colleagues. But it does start, I think it does start with us. I think we do have a responsibility to have that courage to just look at what's coming up for me, what's going on between us, you know. And even when it feels like us, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. So I just want to leave you today thinking about, you know, what are the clients that you find tricky, the ones that you love, reflecting on all ongoing sessions that you have. So you do a soap for every session. You know, looking at those themes and patterns, being willing to seek out some supervision, even if that is on a, you know, in a, it can be peer supervision, it can be with an actual supervisor. You know, you can just share this within your practice pods. All of it is, you know, grist for the mill. It's all about kind of getting it out there and looking at it. And you'll know that you are moving to a new level in your coaching when that just feels like part of who you are. When whatever that issue was, it's like, oh yeah, I can, yeah, I'm totally there. But I think, just to share with you personally, I think the biggest shift for me over the last sort of 5 years has been, I no longer require a client to be ready for coaching. I'm like, no, it's, you just show up, we'll be fine. If this work interests you, it's fine. And it's meant, like, through my program with Muggles, we've got people at all levels of self-awareness. Some of them have never, ever, like, they think, you know, talking about emotions is a bit woo-woo. Like, that's the kind of phrase that we'll hear. And, you know, it's so interesting to me to meet with folks like that and people who are trained therapists but have self-doubt in their business or whatever. And so they're in self-belief school because they want to explore that. So we've got folks at all ends of the spectrum, and it works because we're all walking each other home. But not having that requirement has meant, you know, I've had to do a ton of work to kind of get to that place where it's like, I don't have any expectations of a client. But it also means that clients are really free to come and go as they need, whatever they need. And you can imagine if, you know, just to call back to module 3, when we talked about trauma-informed coaching, if 70% of adults, which is the consistent number across, you know, lots of longitudinal studies, if 70% of adults self-report traumatic experiences or ongoing developmental trauma in their lives, most of our clients have got real issues with trust, trusting themselves, trusting other people, being vulnerable. That there is a, you know, we're all a bit dysregulated because of the experiences we've had. And so the more we can do as practitioners to create a place that is, you know, that we do our best to create safety and trust around, the more willing our clients are going to be to walk into that. And that just all comes back to, what are we willing to look at in ourselves that might get in the way of that? Now I feel like I'm on a soapbox, so I'm going to stop. I just want to open up. Is there anything you're thinking, want to chat about around this doing our own work stuff?
The only thing I was just thinking is if I need to look at the soap thing a bit more in depth again, but if that's relevant as well for group things as well, maybe things aren't as super coaching focused, if they're more like sometimes I do more teaching-y like workshops and stuff where it's not super interactive back and forth, and I'm guessing it would still be a good thing to do.
Yeah, because it's about self-reflection on your experience, I think it's super helpful. Getting into the habit of it, I found, is also super helpful. I'm not great with habits, so knowing that, I just do that as a matter of course, can be really, it's great. So that when something a bit icky happens or something comes up, it's like, I'm just going to do that soap thing that I always do. It's not like, oh God, I better do a reflection tool, you know? So I would say if you find it, if you try it for a while and see if you find it helpful. The only time I think where it's perhaps not so useful, but this up for debate, is when there is absolutely no interaction with the students, when you're basically just, you're training or you're sharing content kind of thing. Then it's sort of like there isn't anything there. It's just you and yourself. So I don't know how helpful that might be. But it may be, because if your own experience is quite rich, then that could be something to look at. Yeah. Cassie, anything you wanted to share or offer?
I was just thinking, not necessarily habit, but discipline. Because I had it's another peer coaching thing that somebody asked me to join, and I coached them on Monday, and I thought, it was on Friday, and I thought, oh, this will be a good chance to use this soap tool, and then it completely went out of my mind after the session. So I think I can see how it could be really, really helpful. I think, as you just said, it's that building that habit, or that I probably do need to get myself a nice new notebook and have it on the desk so that as soon as I finish it, my attention goes to it.
That's exactly
off for a wee or something.
Yeah, completely. I'm the same. I'm like, a cat with a shiny thing. So I've got to have it right next to me. And yeah, it's like, and now, because I've been doing this for so many years, it's like, oh, that's actually when I finish the session is when I finish my soap reflection.
Yeah.
So I don't do so many one-on-one coaching now. I only have two clients. But I have supervision sessions. And so it's like, it's the same kind of approach. And then I have supervision for my supervision. So yeah, it's a never ending pyramid scheme, I think. But yeah, it's just that self-reflection, the value of self-reflection is something that is the thing that pays the dividends. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it made me reflect as well, because about what you were saying about coaching schools, and all we had was a checkbox sheet of, did you hit the markers? There was no like that personal part of, as you said, the subjective and objective. It was just, it was probably just objective. It was just like, whatever. So reflecting back on that, how much more useful that probably having something like a soap tool would have been.
Yeah. Well, and you're reminding me of something Marie, my supervisor, always says to me, is it doesn't actually matter what happens. Like, it could be a total disaster, right? And the client fires you or something awful happens in the doesn't matter. What matters is, are you willing to look at it? Can you learn something from it or process the experience of it? Are you getting to a place where you've got some insight about what you might do differently, better, more, less of next time? And then it's like, then it was totally worth it. And I think that there's something about that reciprocity that gets kind of, I think, missed sometimes, right? Is that we get so much from working with our clients when we take those lessons and growth opportunities. It's huge, hugely valuable. And I think, you know, for me, that's always left me with a feeling of real reverence for clients. It's like, oh, I'm getting so much from working with them as much as I hope they get from me. So, you know, it does kind of also help with, you know, those moments where you do feel a bit bored or irritated or like frustrated because your client isn't making progress. You get to think, oh, there is a point to this though. There is use in it. There's value here. Yeah. Cool. Well, I hope that has been helpful just as a way in to starting to, you know, explore how self-doubt shows up with clients. You know, and, you know, the number one takeaway is it's totally understandable and normal to have a mixed box of feelings for clients. And both the clients that we adore and the ones that we find a bit tricky have opportunities and, you know, and challenges. But they both have real intelligence that leads to our own growth. And it just is on us to be willing to look at it. All right, loves. Thanks for that. Thanks for coming. This is so fun to talk about.
Thank you. Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Next week, we start module 8, which is all about conflict. Yay. So fun. It's really juicy. So we'll have, 2 weeks on conflict, and then we'll have a break for a week, an integration week. So, yeah, all good. All right, then. Well, you take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah, have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye. Bye.